I want to read a couple more verses from Luke chapter 21 earlier in the chapter. Just sort of set the stage for my message. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, where the Bible says, And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished. Now, the law of Moses, you go back, you don't need to turn to it, but in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible says this, talking about a woman that had a boy as her first child. And the Bible says, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. So the law was, a male child was to be circumcised on the 8th day, and then the mother for another 33 days was in the act of purification. And so what this verse says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished. So it was after the 8 days of that passed before the child was circumcised. It was after the 33 days of the mother's purification. So Jesus was about 40 days old. And the way I interpret that, you say, well, 8 and 33 is 41, but I'm interpreting that on the 8th day, that was the 33rd day. And so I won't argue about it. He was either 40 or 41 days old. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That was the custom. That was the law said, that they were to bring him to the temple and present him to the Lord. And so that's what Mary and Joseph were doing when we read this story about this man named Simeon. The Bible says that he was a just and devout man, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah to come and to set the Jews free from the Roman Empire. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. What a wonderful testimony that is about any person, that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the Holy Ghost had told this man Simeon, he said, you are not going to see death until you see the Lord's Christ. I don't know how old he was. I sort of think he was an older man. But the Holy Spirit had told him, you are not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple. I hope the Holy Spirit did that to you today too. I hope that you were led of the Holy Spirit to come to this place. You might say, well, preacher, no, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit's leading. I just came because it was Sunday. Well, praise God then. I mean, if you don't feel the Holy Spirit leading and you got yourself in a habit of coming to church, praise God. But I tell you what, I hope you feel the Holy Spirit before you leave. I hope you feel His presence before you leave. And so the Holy Spirit led this man named Simeon to the temple, and he was there when Joseph and Mary brought their little boy Jesus, 40, 41 years old, to present him to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit goes over to Simeon and sort of gives him an elbow in the side and says, Simeon, that's him. That's the Lord's Christ. That's the Messiah. And I know it's not in the Bible, but I sort of think some tears started to run down to Simeon's cheek. He went over to Mary, and he said, Mary, and he probably didn't know Mary's name, but he said, ma'am, could I hold your little baby just for a moment? And Mary put that little baby in the arms of this older man, and he held him and looked down into his face and began to bless God and to thank God and to praise God. And then he said this, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This morning I want to preach on the subject, depart in peace. Depart in peace. I have 3 points I want to make. Number 1, every single one of us are going to depart. Every single one of us, just like Simeon, just like he said, Lord, I'm ready to go now. You've kept your promise. You said that I would live and see until I see the consolation of Israel. You said I would live and see until I see your Christ. I've seen him now. I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to die. And I want to remind you this morning, you might say, preacher, this is not a very pleasant thought to think about on Christmas, but this is a thought that we ought to keep on our mind every single day of the year, because it could happen any day of the year. Every single one of us have an appointment with death. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. And it doesn't matter. I'll tell you this morning, it does not matter how old you are. You can go home and you can open the paper and you can look in the obituaries, and I didn't do it this morning, but on any given day, you can see old people that die, you can see young people that die, and you can see everybody in between. So it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your station in life. It doesn't matter how big the pile of your possessions are. The Bible says that every single one of us have an appointment with death. Now, this is different than any other appointment that we have in our life, because any other appointment we have in our life, we know the day and we know the time. I thought I was going to have to go to court on Wednesday morning. I was summoned for jury duty. And they said, hey, you call this number, and if your number's chosen, you got to be here at 8 o'clock. And you got to leave enough time so you can get through security. You can't bring your cell phone. You can't bring your BlackBerry. You just have to come. I thought I was going to have an appointment, and I knew the day and the time. I called the number. They said, oh, we don't need you. So I don't have an appointment. But you know what I'm talking about. Every other appointment in our life, we know the day. We know the time. But this appointment that I'm talking about this morning, I can tell you, you have it. And I know that I have it. But I don't know the day. And I don't know the time. And you don't know the day. And you don't know the time. But regardless of not knowing the specifics of the appointment, I will tell you, it's an appointment that cannot be put off. It's an appointment that cannot be postponed. It's an appointment that each of us will keep. And I want you to notice the words in the Bible. The words in the Bible are so important. Simeon said this. He said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He did not say, hey, let thy servant's life is going to end. He did not say that I am going to be annihilated. He did not say that I am going to cease to exist. There's a lot of people believe today that after this life is over, that's it. There's nothing else. That we are annihilated. They use that word. We are annihilated. We cease to exist. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, and this word implies it, that we are going to depart from this earth. That word depart means that I am going to leave this place, and I'm going to go somewhere else. This old body that is made of dust one day will die and it will return to dust. But the real me and the real you will never cease to exist, will never die. You're just going to leave this earth. You're going to depart and you're going to go somewhere else. Now there's only two options. There's heaven where God lives. That place was that Jesus was talking about when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's one option. The place where God lives. God's home. The other option is the place where God doesn't live. That place called hell. Only two options. There ain't no in-between. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but there ain't no in-between. When you depart from this earth, when you leave this earth, you will go to one place or the other. You will go to heaven and be with God, or you will go to hell and be apart from God. And so you ask the question, well, which one will I go to? Which one will I go to? Well, that brings me to my second point. Which one you go to depends on your condition when you leave. Your condition when you leave. Simeon said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. In peace. In peace. He said, I'm ready to go. I'm going to depart. Let me depart in peace. It's a wonderful thing to have peace with God. And you know, every single one of us was made and created to have peace with God. But when sin came into the world, it destroyed our peace with God. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that every single one of us was made for God's pleasure. The Bible says every single one of us was made to be with Him. The Bible says every single one of us was made to fellowship with God. But when sin came into the world, when we as man disobeyed God, our relationship with our Creator was broken. Our fellowship with Him was broken. Sin caused Adam and Eve, again, who were made for God's pleasure, who were made to fellowship with God, who had that unique experience to be with God for a while in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, when they disobeyed God, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And when sin came into the world, there went up a wall between the Creator and the created. When sin came into the world, there became a division between God and man. When sin came into the world, that peace that God created us to exist with Him was destroyed. Now, I want you to listen very closely. Listen very closely. We, in a sense, can get by on this earth without peace with God. In a sense, we can get by on this earth without peace with God. I don't know why anybody would want to do it. I don't know why anybody would want to live their 80, 90, 100 years, however many years God gives you on this earth. I don't know why you or anybody would want to live on this earth without having peace with God. But in a sense, you can do that. Again, don't know why anybody would want to. But in a sense, you can. But, and listen closely, you do not want to depart this earth unless you have peace with God. Let me say it again. You do, if in a sense, you can get by on this earth at war with God. But you do not. I'll underline it. I'll put it in capital letters. I'll make them red. I'll put quotations around them. I'll shout it at the top of my voice. You do not want to leave this earth unless you have peace with God. Because if you leave this earth without peace with God, you will depart at war with God. And you will be apart from God for all eternity. And that's hell. You listen to me. I know the Bible says that hell is a place of fire. I know the Bible says that place is the bottom, that hell is the place of the bottomless pit. I know that hell is a place of darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth where the worm dieth not. I know that Satan and all his demons are in that place called hell. And all those down through the ages that have rejected Christ are in that place called hell. But I want to tell you, the thing that makes hell, hell, is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is not there. The thing that makes hell, hell, is God is not there. And if you leave this earth without peace with God, you are destined to that place where God does not live. You are destined for an eternity in hell. Let me tell you something. Once you leave this earth headed for hell, there is no turning back. There is no second chances. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that death is separation from God, and it lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. So you with me so far? You know, as I know, that each one of us have an appointment with death. We don't know the details of that appointment. We don't know when. We don't know the exact time. But I hope that you're as convinced as I am that I don't want to depart this earth without having peace with God. So the next logical question is this. Well, how do I get that peace with God? How do I get peace with God? How do I get ready to depart? Number three, and that's my third point. How do I get peace with God? The Bible tells us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon said the same thing in Luke chapter 2. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You get the picture in your mind? He was there in the temple. He was holding a little 41-day-old baby. He was looking down in that little baby's face. And what God did was to pull back the curtain of the future and let Simeon see that this little what this little one that he was holding in his arms was going to become. What God let Simeon see was what this little one that he was holding in his arms was going to do. This morning, I want you to see the same thing that Simeon saw. We don't have to pull back the curtain of the future. We just have to read the record of the past. We just have to look into this book. It's history for us. What do we see? We see a little baby that increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. What do we see? We see a high priest tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. What do we see? We see a God that made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Would you see his salvation this morning? See his salvation as he stands before a Jewish council who meet at a time and in a way that breaks every one of their laws. And they accuse him and find him guilty of being who he is, the Son of God. See his salvation as he stands before a Roman governor who asks him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, thou sayest. And Pilate goes before his accusers and I find no fault in him. He's done nothing wrong. I'm going to release him. But the Jews that were there work up the crowd and say, no, we don't want him released. We want the murderer and the robber, Barabbas, released. And Pilate says, well, what should I then do with this, your king of the Jews? What should I then do with Jesus? And the crowd cries out, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate gets a basin of water and washes his hands and says, see ye to it. I find no fault in him. See his salvation this morning as those Roman soldiers blindfold him. They spit on him. They pull out his hair and his beard. They take sticks and beat him. They form a crown of thorns, press it down on his brow. They take a whip with 9 lashes on it, a cat of 9 tails, they called it, where on the end of each lash was a piece of sharp metal or a sharp rock. and they whip him 39 times. See his salvation this morning? As they take him out to a hill shaped like a skull. They nail him to a cross, and he hangs between heaven and earth. He's forsaken by his trusted associates on earth, and even those that are crucifying him, he cries out, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." But he's not only forsaken by those that he's lived the past 30 years with, 33 years or so on earth, he's forsaken by the one that he's been with for all eternity. As God the Father turns his back on his only Son, causing Jesus to cry out from the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" See his salvation as the sun hides its face and the earth is dark. One final cry from that cross, "It is finished!" And this one who was proclaimed to be the Messiah dies. This one who was proclaimed to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, dies. This one who had healed the sick and made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and raised the dead, dies himself. See his salvation. They take him down from that cross. They lay him in a borrowed tomb. And for 3 days and three nights, all of creation waits. See his salvation. The sun rises on Sunday morning. There's a great earthquake because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven to roll back the stone away from the door of the tomb. Not so Jesus could get out, so that man could see in. There's ladies there that have brought ointment to anoint the body. But when they get there, there is no body. There's an empty tomb. There's an angel. An angel that says the same thing to the women that the angel said to the shepherds on the hills outside of Bethlehem. "Fear not! Fear not! I know you're looking for Jesus, the one that was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." Just as he said. What must I do to have peace with God? What must I do, to put it another way, to be saved? God made it so simple. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe that he was God's Son. Believe that he left heaven. Believe that he came to earth. Believe that he lived a sinless life for the years that he lived here. Believe that when he went to the cross, he did not die for any sin he committed. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And yet he died on that cross for sins, but it was mine. And it was yours. Not just one of them. Not just some of them. But all. All our sins. All our sins were placed on him. And when he died on Calvary, he suffered our hell for us. He paid the price of our sin. He suffered the debt and paid the price that we owed. Are you still with me? Every single one of us are going to depart. Don't know the day, don't know the time, but it's going to come. It's going to come. You need to depart in peace. Do not leave this earth without having peace with God. How do I get that peace? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you done that this morning? I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your station in life. I don't care how big the pile of your possessions. I don't care how big the pile of your sins. I know the kind of Savior we have. And he extends the invitation for peace with God to every single person. Regardless of how old you are, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of anything, he wants you to be saved. The Bible says the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Would you come this morning? You're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. What's keeping you back? What's keeping you back? You come this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple. Thank you that you made it so even a little child can understand.